Record button. All right, you are now being recorded for posterity. You'll be famous for barbershop generations to come. All right, welcome everyone again. Thanks so much for being here. Thanks again just for taking on some sort of leadership role in your chapter. Are you guys all presidents or any? Yeah. Okay, so no president-elects, all presidents.
No, president, I'm president-elect.
You're president-elect, Chuck. Okay, great. Have you been a
And
president before?
Will is current president. I'm coming on in January.
Okay, awesome. Very good. Good to know.
I'm music VP starting president at 26.
Awesome. Thanks, Dave. Great. Great.
I'm
Great.
the incoming president. I have been president of the chapter before, years ago, and finally got back to it. So
All right.
second time around.
Been there, done that. Willing to do it again. Thank you. Thank you. Defender. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Well, good. Great to have you all. I will get through this while I wait for Bruce to remind us exactly what time he wanted us back there. I know we were shooting to end around to end overall around 10:30 or so, but we'll see what he replies. Okey-doke. Welcome. Sorry, who's on the iPhone there that just joined us?
Dave Adamson.
Dave, all right, welcome, Dave. Which chapter are you with?
Rocky Mount, well, no, Oil City Slickers, Casper, Wyoming.
Oh, very nice, very cool. Yeah, if you think about it, just hit the little three. I don't know if you can see by your picture. There might be a way to rename yourself, just so you can replace iPhone with your name, just so I call you the right name. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Just making sure everybody's recording.
We are recording. Look at you, boy. That was quick. Hopped in, hopped out. Okay, let's get going, everyone. All right, so you're seeing my main slide, yes? Okay, I'll keep going now. So this is all about you. A lot of this won't be new for any of you, so we'll just share as we go through. These are some of my thoughts, but I welcome your contributions here. And let's just get into it. So what is a chapter, of course, president? So of course you're a visionary, right? You've got this great vision. Well, Dave, you already raised your hand there. You got a question, or you're not seeing something?
No.
Or are you just playing? Okay.
Sorry, no, I wasn't. Will we have copy of the notes you're presenting?
We'll post all this.
Slides?
Yes, you don't need to take notes or screenshots or anything.
Okay, just
We'll post
don't
it up. This actual recording will also be posted.
have. Thanks, sir.
Yep. So you are the visionary. You're a strategist. How are we going to get things done? You're a communicator, right? Master communicator. How to say things, the right way to say things. You're a collaborator, right? We'll talk about all these things just a little bit. You're a solution finder. You're the leader servant, I like to call it, right? You're not just the commander, right? You're a leader servant. You're a wise steward. Okay, so let's talk about some of these things. Okay, so first, you ensure that a Corus vision or mission is defined and communicated and pursued. If you're not sure if your Corus has an established mission or vision, it's a good exercise to go through. I would really encourage it. Just kind of helps focus everybody a little bit more. So you would discuss with your leadership team, what do we want the Corus to be? Right? What is this Corus? Is this Corus a competing Corus? Is it more fraternal of a Corus? Is it focused on community service? Is it all about shows? Is it a comedy Corus? Is it more of a traditional, traditional barbershop? There's so many things that your chorus could be, and it's really a collective decision. And it's not necessarily just you guys as leaders, of course, or even your board. These are things that you would survey your membership about and have discussions with. But what does your chorus really want to be? You may be nearby other choruses that aren't too far away. Is there something that you're doing to distinguish yourself from that chorus? Ponder that. What do we really want to be as a chorus? And then evaluate with your leadership team, do our current programs align with that vision? Right? Because if there's a disconnect there, something's got to change, or you're going to have people that have unmet expectations. And that's one of the big challenges. Think to yourselves when you all go to chorus every week or every couple of weeks, whenever you go, what are you expecting out of the rehearsal? When at the chorus rehearsal is over, how do you evaluate if it was good or not? Right? And as leaders, you may have a certain perspective that other members don't, but still, generally speaking, it'll probably be similar. At the end of a rehearsal with the Saltaires, if I end the rehearsal and I was like, well, that was a waste of time, or that was annoying, or that was no fun, or man, the director just beat us senseless because we couldn't get our notes right, or those sorts of things. Well, I'm not too happy about rehearsal, all right? But the times where I feel like, wow, I learned something from my director. That was pretty cool. Or man, he really helped us improve in this song, or the guys really seemed to click with this thing. Great. Or we spent a lot of time quartetting during rehearsal, and that was fun. Not just quartetting, but maybe the director coached individual quartets that got called out during rehearsal to sing a segment of a song, and I got to be nervous, but I got to learn in that environment. Anyway, you get the idea. There's a whole bunch of different things that you might want to be as a chorus, and you got to make sure that your activities align with that. Any quick comments on that? Okay, some of you probably have some positive and negative experience with that. Okay, another part of your responsibilities is ensuring that the chorus culture is defined and communicated and pursued. You know, some cultures may be very, very serious and all about the work and all about the contest and all about improvement and all about musical excellence. And you know, so, and those type of guys or girls and those types of choruses find that fun. You know, some people are crazy like that, right? They're just driven for that sort of thing. You know, people who might be more competitive in nature. Others would be bothered by that and offended by that and not find joy in that at all. So maybe your culture is more one of, it's just much more social and relaxed and enjoyable to be together as human beings and just to have that great brotherhood or sisterhood and that interaction with each other, right? And so again, have you defined and really communicated that culture so that everybody is on board with what that is? So again, you discuss with your leadership team, how do we want the chorus to be as a chorus? And then the same question, how do our current do our current actions align with that type of a culture, right? If the chorus intends to be a little more social and informal, not working so hard that people get tired of the music, but then your director is trying to beat the music into you, well, there's that disconnect, right? And so you really have to make sure at all levels, everyone's aligned with that culture. Again, any comments or questions here? Or things you've learned. I got plenty.
If I may.
Thomas, yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. I was with the Duke City Sound in Albuquerque for 5 years, from 2016 to 2021, and was president for 3 years. During that time, we had very few new members. We had people would pop in and pop out, but no one who stayed. Then I had to leave. My agency transferred me out for several years to the East Coast, and I'm finally back and intending to retire so that I can continue with my course. Now, one of the things that I've noticed that has changed is that there are more than 8 new young guys, and the youngest is 16. And a superb singer. But something in the culture of the chorus has changed. And that is that there is a concerted effort to do things together as a chorus. So many times we have traveled to district or we have traveled to an event separately and everybody trickles in and they all show up, hopefully on time, and we get together. Our goal is to make it part of our culture that we travel together, that we get to an event together. And for us, that's important because it not only gives us more time to rehearse, but it gives us more time to socialize and to solidify all of those relationships. When we are preparing now, having been honored with being asked to compete at internationals, our intent is to get as many of our people as possible to travel by train to St. Louis so that we can not only work on our music while we are traveling, but make it a fun cultural event. And to really grow that close relationship that we have. And it's critically important because it results for all of us in loyalty and greater resources in time and energy and funds and just a great improvement in our culture and the personality of the course.
Love it. Thanks for that example, Thomas. Appreciate that. Wonderful.
Thomas, I look forward to the day that Longspeak Chorus can take a train ride to International and sing and be ready. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I just wanted to also say that I've not been president, but I've been a part of the leadership team for the last 2 or 3 years at Longspeak's Chorus. You talk about culture, you talk about change, you talk about what directions you want to be in. Success, a failure story was 2 years ago, we decided to change a little bit of direction, be a little more competitive, be a little more, raise the bar, I guess, as you should say. It was a leadership decision and one that we thought we would push through the membership. It wasn't as successful as we thought it was going to be. This past year, we refined it. We had similar goals, but we included it. This year, we just included the membership and what those goals were, why, gave them reasons why we were going to take these next steps. And before we took those next steps, make sure they had their buy-in, hand votes, discussions before a chapter meeting. It wasn't a waste of time to burn that half hour. And I've got Ron Black breathing down my back. So we've got to be quick. But we made the change this year, and we're now in a trajectory where we had hoped to have been a year ago, but that's okay because now we can take next year's direction and take a step up. But I just wanted to say, as you talk about as a board and your leadership, it's one thing for the leadership to say, yes, we want to do this, we want to do that. Now let's break, let's go. We failed 2 years ago in not sharing that and getting buy-in from the chapter before we took off.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Appreciate that experience. We'll talk about communication a bit later, but yeah, so critical to get that buy-in. I'm a big fan of transparency. I'm a big fan of explaining the why behind decisions that leadership makes. I'm a big fan of getting input from membership before decisions are finalized. In other words, I like the concept of leadership coming up with a framework for a decision, or maybe even kind of down the road a little bit of the decision without it being finalized, and then sharing it with membership and saying, this is what we're thinking, help us craft this. I often find that people who are part of developing the solution buy into the solution much more than something that's thrust upon them. Even if they don't agree 100%, they'll know that they had input, maybe something was tweaked to align with their needs or their desires. And so as leaders, it's not, like I said, it's not about being a commander, it's about being that leader servant. And so, yeah, involving everybody in that final cultural decision or program decision or event decision, whatever it is, we'll get a lot more buy-in. Yeah, good. Okay, let's keep going. We'll have plenty of time for more comments as we go. Let's see what's next here. Okay, so ensuring chorus objectives and goals are defined, communicated, and pursued. And you know what I mean here, this isn't anything new. Objectives, you know, do we have a specific goal in mind for this year, for the next few years? What are we trying to achieve ultimately from a chorus perspective? This kind of aligns with the vision and mission. It should be in support of your vision and mission, right? These are mileposts, you could call them, along the way to getting to this nirvana vision that you've all defined for yourself, something we're always pursuing and trying to achieve. So this could be something related to money and fundraising. It could be related to the number of shows you want to do in a year's time. It could be related to membership and how many members. It could be related, could be more specific, like how many guest nights are we going to do in the year. It could be any of those types of things. And of course, then you as leaders, you work with the teams in the course to figure out how you're going to achieve those goals. That's the hard part, right? So again, how do we achieve the vision and mission? What needs to change or improve? What steps do we need to take to enable that? And what are those mileposts along the way? Any comments or questions about the goals thing? If we don't all align on what we're trying to achieve and what those goals are, again, you'll have that disconnect and you'll have that kind of contention a little bit within the course, even among leadership, perhaps. So again, I really encourage you to make sure that you as leadership are all on the same page and that you've invited the course members to contribute. Yeah, Chuck.
I'm interested from the others what experience they've had with using a retreat, for example, for the board as a way of talking through these strategic and cultural issues, because there really isn't, if you just do it at your normal board meeting, there really isn't enough time to to run through all of these issues. And I'm just, I've been in many organizations where that's what we do, is we take a Saturday retreat or a 2-day retreat, and we talk about these things, and whether those who have experience on this call have had luck doing that.
And I'll just mention Salteras. When I was president of Salteras, we did that, you know, before the new year, maybe November, December timeframe, we'd get together. It was more, you know, half day sort of thing, maybe a little bit through lunch. But yeah, to do just what you're talking about, Chuck, getting everybody together to chat about these exact questions. And I think that's at least helps the leadership get aligned, because as leadership, we need to share a consistent message. What have the rest of you tried to do regarding that?
Longspeak does that every January, start of every January. This year we're heading to Pasadena, so it's, we don't think we're going to get ours done until February, but we'll see.
Yeah, Nick? You're muted, Nick.
There we go. Yeah, the BI Statesmen have done typically just a long Zoom meeting every month. And we try to keep up with things all the way along through there. We have the entire board there every time, and we go through our activities in line with the goals that we have. We're lucky in our district. We have, on our side of the Rockies, we have a contest chorus that is really into contest and great scores, and they are good. I want to tell you that. And that's Mark's chorus, the Saltaires, and we have a Leighton chorus. They meet twice a month, and they're a comedy group, kind of. They like to have a lot of fun with their presentations, and they do some singing out, and they like to take their stuff to contest as well. The BI Statesmen have been, our chorus has been a, our goal is service through music. And in order to affect that, we do concerts. That's one of the reasons most of us have a little yellow shirt on, and we may have to leave early if we don't make the 10:30 closing time, because we have two concerts this afternoon. We have we go out to other meeting or other places and sing. Places that are underserved as far as entertainment goes, and we have a great amount of enjoyment singing, and they seem to enjoy our work as well as we go out and sing for those things. So that's kind of the way we have handled these objectives and goals with the Beehive Statesman.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. Yeah, back to Dave.
One other thing, a little twist to what we do with our, when we do the annual retreat on the, in January, we have the first 3 hours is the board meeting, and then follow that is another a break, lunch, then another 2 to 3 hour meeting with the music team, with the intent of having just heard what the board was, and we invite the music team to sit off to the side of that board meeting if they want to, then that helps set the direction then for the music team, so both are aligned, because both help run, drive what's happening in the chapter.
Great. Very good, thank you.
Duke City Sound is small enough now that most of our board meetings happen right after rehearsal every week. We get together, we talk about the issues that have come up. If there are things that affect the objectives and goals for the entire course, then we talk about that during the chapter meeting with everyone. Everyone has a chance to give us their input. The board will make final decisions, but and years ago we did monthly meetings, and years even farther back we did retreats. But we're small enough now that we don't have a lot of formal meetings. If there are issues that are really pressing, we may call a special meeting and find a separate venue to sit down just as a board and discuss steps that need to be taken. Most of our goals can be reached simply by getting everyone involved and coming to a consensus.
Yep. Thanks, Thomas. Love it. All right, good. Let's keep going, and we'll have plenty more chances to share some experiences. Okay, next. So I put here, collaborate with board members and others to achieve the defined vision, mission, culture, objectives, and goals. So once we define all those things, now we collaborate. I think we've been talking a lot about that. So you discuss with your leadership team, what is each leader's role? Make sure you have defined job descriptions so people aren't stepping on each other's toes, right? What's each leader's part in achieving these things? What strategies or plans can we realistically implement? Sometimes we get very lofty in our goals, and maybe they're unrealistic. So we also want to be realistic. You know, we like the stretch goals, the SMART goals, those concepts. But yeah, and then how do we communicate this to the chapter and chorus? So again, I think we've talked quite a bit about that just recently as we talked about our meetings and all of that. So a lot of collaboration, a lot of involvement, ensuring alignment, ensuring role understanding. And let me go to the next one here. Now you, as presidents, now you assist other board members in the execution of their duties and assignments. So understand the role of each leader, check in with them, help remove obstacles, help prioritize, give guidance and mentorship, but don't micromanage. So this is the part where I remind all of us as the presidents or incoming presidents that it's not our job to do everything and to demand how everything is done. A lot of leadership is allowing others and delegating to others a certain sphere of responsibility that they can then fulfill. Many of you, most of you, all of you, maybe have done this in your own businesses, you know, in your jobs through your life. You got to let other people do things in the way that they may feel best, and you give the guidance, maybe some guardrails, maybe some recommendations or tweaks, or you know, you share your wisdom and experience, and you know, and you maybe help guide people, but resist that challenge to be the one who does everything. Now, there may be a few of you who are saying, I got like a dozen active people in my chorus, you know, and almost no one wants to do anything, and so I have to do it all. And so if that is the case, just do your very best. Do your very best to involve the others and delegate and share that responsibility. Comments, thoughts on this one here? All right.
I have been in choruses all over the country at various times, working with the both with the Navy and with the federal government, and have, like most of you, I'm sure, have held many different positions, and sometimes in very small startup choruses. One of the things that I did in Wisconsin was to help found the West Allis, Wisconsin chapter. And at one time, we weren't even officially a chorus. We had eight guys that showed up for rehearsals. All of them were dedicated barbershoppers, and everyone wanted to be part of it. So we did, although we did have a formal structure, our meetings were very much about collaboration as opposed to the president handing down direction of what jobs needed to be done. Everybody jumped in, everybody wanted to play the game. And it's the same here with the chorus, my chorus here in New Mexico. Very experienced leadership team that I am very fortunate to have. And they've got my back, and my job is simply to point them in the direction we need to get to achieve the goals and just pull the trigger, let them do their jobs.
Yep, great. Thanks, Thomas. Love it. Very good. One thing that popped into my mind as you were talking was, especially the smaller groups, I want you all to be sensitive to your own level of potential burnout. Those of you who have, you know, had to do this for years and years and years because other people aren't stepping up, at some point, we need to figure out how to help others to step up. You know, I was in various positions with the Salteras for years. It felt like 15 years or so as you're rotating around board positions, you know, president, couples. And at some point, it was just like, okay, I've got to stop being the guy that, you know, that the director keeps coming to or that, you know, that everybody's coming to. I needed to get out of that. For better or worse, that's when I was invited to, you know, coincided with serving at the district level. And I thought, oh, that's great. This is a really good reason to get out of being president of the chorus, and I was able to get one of the other strong leaders to step up, because I said, look, I'm not going to do it anymore once I'm in the district president role. And so luckily one of the guys stepped up and did that. But so it would be sensitive to your burnout and the burnout of other leaders in the chorus. A lot of guys have been doing it for years and years and years. And we've got guys in our chorus who are leaders for a long time who just don't want to do it anymore. And so we invite them to help where they can, but we don't necessarily expect too much in a leadership capacity. Anyways, so just be sensitive to that issue in your among your leadership and for yourselves. It's better for you to pass the reins to someone else before you get really burnt out. Any questions or concerns about that? Thoughts?
We had complaints from leadership 2 years ago when I joined the leadership team that only a handful of folks did anything, and you know, and all that information. And my first year of music VP, when we got to the end of it, we have an annual meeting, dinner with our wives, installation of officers, all that at the first of the year. And one of the exercises I did 2 years ago, I repeated it last year. I'm going to repeat it. I think we're going to repeat it every year. Is I went. If you're president or music VP or whatever, if I went through and listed every activity that we did, all the way down to setting up the risers, and then I listed and I asked for anyone that was involved with the show, anyone that was involved with this, anyone that was involved with that, anyone that was involved, anyone that is actively set up the risers every week, please stand. And each time everyone stood, and it visually showed that we had almost every member standing up. And then you celebrate that, and we celebrate that in the middle of the year and the end of each year. And now as we look forward to see how many can we stand up and celebrate that. It was a nice visual to sort of let people know that, no, there's more than just four or five. There are four or five on the leadership team that do a lot, but it takes us all, it takes the whole village. And just one, I don't know, that worked very well for us.
That's great. Thanks, Dave. Love it. That's a great way to show that everyone's participated in some way. Yeah. Very good. Any other thoughts or questions on this one? Okay. So again, you help, you clear obstacles, you pave the way, but you don't do everything, at least in as much as you can spread that work, you don't do everything. Okay. If you find yourself doing a lot because you feel like you're the only one that can do it, or you're just going to do it best, just challenge your own thinking. Try to just step outside yourself for a minute and say, okay, am I willing to let someone else learn and lead in certain roles, even if it might not be done as well as I think I could do it? Am I willing to let them grow and help them grow? All right. So next, let's see. So overseeing the organization, again, not commanding, but overseeing. So considerations. So think strategically. Again, we talked about this before. How well are we aligned with and achieving our mission, vision, culture, objective goals? Are we communicating effectively? We've talked a lot about that. Are we planning with appropriate lead times? Right? Do you suddenly dump things on guys? Oh, by the way, next week we've got a gig. You know, we want to be planning. Are you getting your music out with enough time for people to learn the music? You know, a lot of logistical types of things. Are there conflicts that need to be resolved? You know, whether it's personality or just approach or opinions, or, you know, again, respecting the vision or the culture. Do your various leaders understand their roles? And finally, again, you having that attitude of how can I help? How can I help? Again, as that leader servant, what can I do to help my leaders be successful? Any good executive leader knows that when the people that report to them succeed, it reflects both on them and on the people, of course, right? Your success is in the success of those that report to you. So really do your best to have that attitude. You know, you succeed when the chorus is happy, when the leaders are fulfilling their roles, when rehearsal goes well. These are the things you can consider successful. Other thoughts on overseeing? All right. Yeah, also the finances, the calendaring, the logistics, contest, the list just goes on, right? All these things that you see up there that, again, you hopefully oversee. Do you have a chorus manager who can help with logistical stuff? You know, a lot of choruses don't, but if you have some guy who's great at, you know, being detail-oriented and organized, right? Maybe prefers behind the scenes type of work. Consider a chorus manager role to help with a lot of logistics and things like that. Again, similar considerations here. Don't micromanage. Encourage and allow the treasurer, secretary, VPs, chorus manager, librarian, and others, whatever you have, to fulfill their own duties, and be the wise steward. So know what's going on. Of course, as you allow people to do things, you still need to be informed. And so I always try to find that balance, whether it's at work or with core stuff or whatever. You give assignments, but you still ask people to keep you informed, so you know what's going on. You still need to be aware. But ultimately, the buck does stop with you, right? And so one extreme is micromanaging. The other extreme is being oblivious to what's going on, right? You've got to find, based on your culture, that middle ground of, just understanding. So what I'd simply do is say, hey, could you please work on this? And then, let me know how it's going at the end of the week or, whatever is an appropriate time frame. And if they don't get back to you, then you just say, hey, how's that thing going, right? Without coming across, rudely or untrusting, just say, hey, I didn't hear from you yet. How are things going, right? And just it's just that follow-up, that kind, considerate follow-up that will be helpful. So again, this oversight role. Any questions here? Comments? So that is the quick review. So we talked about all these roles that you have, but ultimately, the one I didn't really talk about yet, is this. You guys are really the heart. You've accepted to be the president or an incoming president of your chapter. And that brings with it that opportunity and responsibility to be the heart of the organization. In a sense, you are the ones who have the passion because you love your chorus, you love the hobby, you love the guys or the girls who are part of your choruses. You are that heart. I'll talk about that just a teensy bit in my closing remarks, but wow, we all have different personalities. I'm originally from Long Island, New York. I'm kind of wired, kind of type A, just kind of crazy and just out there sometimes. So I have to think really carefully to be calm and speak slowly. Not always successful, but it makes it a little easier for me to kind of be this heart, this motivational, animated kind of person, right? Not everybody's like that. So in your own way, I just want you to ask yourselves, how are you trying to be the heart of your chorus? Ask yourself, what things am I doing to show enthusiasm, positivity, motivation for this group of people and for this organization? Am I happy while I'm doing the work? And is that coming across? Maybe I'm stressed while I'm doing the work. Are you trying to resist showing the stress and still coming across as motivational and enthusiastic to the guys? Yeah, Will.
Mark, everything I've been hearing today is great. And in our chapter, I know we've attempt at least for all these years. At least they made me president one time about 7 years ago, and then they wouldn't let me out of the job. But part of the reason for that is because we spend a lot of time in our board meetings discussing jobs that need to get done, and I count on all of our board members to step up and at least talk about who they, if they can't do the job, who are some of the new members that we have that we could call on individually, individually as board members, and in a way that since we have this past year particularly, we have gained about 12 or 15 new members over the past year, which brought our core size considerably larger than it had been for several years. And we had a number of guest nights over the over long periods of time, and those were always successful, but not great. And so with our new members, well, we've decided that we can individually as board members help others in discussions become more active just because they get to understand that there are all these tasks that have to be performed. And I had taken a position a long time ago that as a president, the one thing that I don't do is all the work. And you, Mark, you've discussed many times places where fellows have found themselves on the board responsible for certain for activities, and they end up doing it all themselves. And I think it, with our discussions within our board, we've at least managed to get the work effort scattered, distributed, so that it gets done and on a timely basis, and no one feels ever overworked as a rule. It seems to have worked in the past, so I'll be off the board by end of December, and Chuck Case, who's here with us today, has I know he's learning, and he's got lots of ideas on how we can continue to keep our board and keep our activities going, because we have many, and Chuck is interested himself in finding new ways to generate funds. And all of that it has resulted in our board members realizing that they have a very important role to play in themselves, not necessarily doing all the work, but finding others, any of their other other members. And we've gotten new members, fairly recent members, and even a couple old members on occasion have gotten reinterested and participated in some activities.
Yeah, that's
That's
great.
just
Thanks, Will.
a little bit of a background.
Love it. No, that's great. Thanks for sharing that. That made me think also, your new members, relatively soon, depending on your board structure, you could ask them to be a member at large on the board and just say, hey, all I want you to do is observe and bring us your feedback as leadership, right? You're a new guy. We need your opinion on what you're observing and what we can maybe do better and what we're doing well. So that's a position where you could give even a new person who seems, relatively at least, enthusiastic about being a new person, you can give them a role on your board pretty quickly. And that already gets them into the leadership mentality as well and involved in the board meetings. Anyway, and be careful of the expectations you set on the new guys. Don't overwhelm them, right? But it's more of an invitation to participate. Chuck.
Just as a quick question, Mark, and to follow up on what Will said, we do have a lot of new members. And as a general rule, the new members don't know anything about the membership in the chorus versus the membership in the BHS and whatever membership in the BHS, what benefits that may bring to them.
Yeah.
Do you have any strategies on how best to bring up that issue with new members and get them involved not only in the local chapter but also in the greater BHS circumstance, and to sell them on how that's a benefit to them?
Yeah, really, really good question. That's probably a long session of its own to talk about those distinctions and those opportunities at the various levels. If the audience we're talking about are new members, so let's focus just on talking that as if this is a new person we're speaking with. I would probably, obviously we'll keep it as simple as we can at first with the new member, right? Here's what the chorus is. This is everything local, everything on the ground, everything that we're doing in our community, everything that's meaningful to the guys in their chorus. The district is the next level up. And they exist kind of as an extension of the overall society. The district exists to give us training, to get our local regional events, like in our case, our Harmony College, where people can go and get educated about things a little more than you might be doing at the local level, right? We have our contests that are by definition, regional first, right? And so the district manages those regional things and responsible for all of that. And they're the ones who help us as a chapter. Then there's the bigger society overall that everything kind of feeds up to, where they provide the overall structure of supporting this organization, not just in the US, but worldwide, organizing the global events, the two big conventions every year, as well as Harmony University and other opportunities that help us to engage with it, with the hobby, with the art form in a broader, larger sense. So I would kind of start at that kind of a general level, and then I'd be curious what questions they would ask to then dig a little, like if they're interested in service, we would say, well, of course, start at the local level, right? You're not going to jump straight into going to be on the BHS board, right? So we'd invite them to do something, on the local level first, and then, for people who you identify as being really into serving, who love this stuff, we'd love them eventually at the district level to be on our board or our operations team to help get stuff done. And then even at the BHS level, we like people like that. So Chuck, did you want to go any deeper than that, or is that okay as a kind of superficial answer to begin?
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
It just,
Yeah.
as Will says, I have a lot of things kind of rumbling around in my head about what I want to bring up with the chorus and how to engage the chorus. And that was one of the questions I had.
No, that's great. Yeah, and feel free to reach out anytime or shoot me an email. Happy to chat or have a little call with you anytime you want. We can just banter about ideas and things like that. Lee, welcome. So you joined here, one of our illustrious, we've used that second time we used that word today, illustrious past district presidents. So thanks, Lee, for jumping on here. I assume we're going to be called back any minute, but we still have time really for additional. This is here. This is the last official slide, right? Open questions and open discussion. Bruce gave us a few that you could think of. This is, should say 2025. I just didn't update it. What have been some successes or some challenges? How can we help? Any creative ideas to help for us? All right. So that was sort of the presentation there. So I'll stop sharing my screen. You don't need to see spreadsheets. Okay. So other thoughts or just questions that are rattling around in your minds?
One of your slides, you had mentioned about planning and looking forward. One of the things we did 2 years ago, and we basically built a calendar for the year. We called it a music map. If you have a show in the spring, you have to order your music. You have to do all, you have to set your venue. You got to get your quartet. You've got to do all those things. We've transposed that into a map, and now the board of directors is now called the chapter map, because the board of directors asked to be added into that. So we have activities all through the year, and we have when supporting activities have to start to meet those dates.
Right.
And we just roll forward. And when we miss a date, we go back to net, we look forward to the next year. And maybe if we did it in April, we back it up and say we needed to start this in February. And that's an exercise we've done for 2 years, and we're continuing with it. I'm happy to share that. It's a bit cumbersome, but once you get started and once you get a feel for it, it's easy to then it helps direct your chapter, your board meetings, your monthly meetings of where are we, where's with the plan, where we are, what we have to do, here's what we have to do this week. It's been a nice tool for Long's Peak to keep us focused on how not to miss a goal.
Wonderful. Yeah, I'm a big fan of rolling plans. Haven't always had them perfectly, but I'm a big fan of that concept, right? You're always a year or two ahead, looking what's coming down the road, even with music repertoire selection, right? I mean, these are things you can be planning ahead of time. I think a lot of things we do tend to be last minute. Now, by the way, I'm going to get on a different soapbox here for a second. We're all volunteers, as has been mentioned, right? Many of us, at least those of us who are not retired, also have, day jobs that we're working on, or family responsibilities, or whatever it is. And I know a lot of the stuff that we do in the barbershop world, we're fitting into little pockets of our time that we have. I know me and my job, I'm still going in my career, got too much time left before I can retire. And with family stuff, I admit sometimes it's hard for me to find time. I wish I were doing a lot more as district president, that I'm currently doing. I'm grateful to have a board that does a lot of good stuff, like Bruce, who prepared this whole thing, and Adam Reimnitz, who helps with Rocky Mountain Harmony College, and our people who help with the contests, Bob Lawson and those with the whole judging system. Anyway, so I've got a bunch of people that I'm relying on. But I know for all of you, you may have similar stories in your own way, in your own lives, where you're just fitting this in, and we're all doing the very best we can. So when we talk about the ideal, the ideal is, like Dave was talking about, that we have a great rolling plan. And if you have somebody who can help push that forward with love and kindness, awesome. Good for you. If you don't, you do the best you can. You just do the very best you can. And that's what I would invite all of you. I never want leadership to end up being a guilt-inducing experience. That's not the intent, especially in our hobby. And I can tell you, I had years where I felt guilty, or years where I felt a little overstressed, and that was just things that I had to push through because of my love for the hobby. But that would never be my hope or expectation for any of you, that you have any of the negative feelings associated with leadership. Ultimately, it's not a job, it's a service opportunity. Once it starts to become a job, which I know for some of us it does at times, we're at risk of losing our love for what we're doing, right? And so again, that's where we need to reach out and just get as much help as we can. Chuck, go ahead.
Just a quick question. I know about Harmony University, and that's coming up. And you keep talking about Harmony College at the district level. Can you just explain that a little bit for a newbie like me?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so usually last weekend of April, sometimes first weekend of May, we have something we call Rocky Mountain Harmony College. It's kind of like a mini local Harmony University. It's got a few purposes. It's mostly about the education. Individuals can go, and there's classes basically all on Friday afternoon and evening and all day Saturday, right? So you got a lot of class sessions that people can choose from. You can also go as a quartet or a chorus to Harmony College, and we have the coaches that we bring in working with the quartets or choruses in multiple sessions throughout that weekend to help them improve however they want. Also, in conjunction with that, we do a second round of preliminary qualification contest for those who would like to get to the international convention. So in the fall is our true district convention. So only in the fall contest is where we crown a district champion, right? And then you could also still qualify by score to go to the international contest. So that's the fall. But then in the spring, and associated with the Harmony College, it's another contest where quartets that think that they might be able to make it to international, or others who want to know what their score is, can go and compete. And again, in front of judges, you get the feedback sessions and you learn and learn, but they can choose to go. And if they qualify by score, they can qualify for the international contest, but there's no district champion, called at that particular convention. That's only in the fall. So that's kind of basic. So it's mostly focused on education for individuals, quartets, and choruses, combined with the preliminaries for those who want to see if they can get to international. Does that help?
Sure. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks. And we'll always have a guest quartet, like, usually some kind of top 10 BHS level quartet as one of the main quartets that comes. We've had quartets that have been champions in other the organization. If you heard of the Worldwide Barbershop Quartet Association, that's kind of the all men group. I'm a member of that also. It's fun. They do their own little conventions, a lot less than what we do in the BHS, but like the champion of them is Brouhaha. They came, and we may have some of their other champions come and visit, high quality people. Anyway, they also serve as clinicians and teach a lot of the classes and coach the quartets and choruses. Mm-hmm. So pretty fun.
And Chuck, I can give a little promo for the Rocky Mountain District Harmony College. Our chorus, the last couple of years, has been in Wyoming, so we've been close enough to us. Long's Peak has gone up as a chorus both years, and took that as an opportunity to get chorus coaching. And it was very successful for us. So if it's in your area, as it rotates around, I would suggest you consider that if you haven't. We hadn't done that before. I mean, so it's, as again, I forget who was talking about an organized event. I think Tom was talking about organized events in the train ride. I mean, that'd be another organized event for the chorus, and that's been successful for us.
And when you talk about what does a district do for me, that's one of those things that provides that training. And I'll tell you, costs a ton. These hotels, these convention centers are not cheap. We're losing money every year. I just, we were, I hate to say it, lucky in a sense that COVID happened because people kept paying dues, but we had no expenses because we were doing no conventions. So we built up a bit of a cushion, but we've been eating into that ever, post-COVID. So we're losing about 10 grand or so a year from the district coffers just to continue to put on events. So I would invite and encourage all of you to participate in both Harmony College and the conventions, even if it's just educational or just attendance, or just to get together with people and have some fun and be part of the district, because all those registrations, dollar for dollar help offset that loss. In the last convention we just had in the fall, for those of you who were there, we had some people from Idaho. So we had about 30, 35-ish that came down from Idaho. So imagine $100 a pop, that was $3,500 or so that had helped minimize any loss that we had as a district. But we're not going to have that every year. They just happen to not want to go all the way up to Canada for their convention. So we worked it out with the society to let them come visit us this past fall. But anyway, so again, encourage you, again, not guilt motivating, but if you can, if you can just get the guys together, not even to compete, but just to come and enjoy the events. Harmony College would be a great one for them to come to. By the way, something we forgot, we haven't announced this. We never eliminated it, but we stopped announcing it. Which is that people during their first year of membership can get one free registration to an event, to a district event. And so if you do have new members, just keep that in the back of your mind somewhere. It's a thing, but we haven't really talked about it post-COVID at all because everything kind of fizzled. And that was something that we realized when I asked about it a few months ago to the team. I said, "Have we even brought this up to our membership lately?" And everybody kind of scratch their head and say, I don't think so, actually." We do have people that do ask us about it periodically. I learned they just usually go straight to the registration guy, though. So we as the board were part of that discussion. So just keep that in the back of your minds for new members. They can come to one event in their first year for free. Okay. District event. All righty. Good. I'm just still not seeing their message to bring us back in, but I look. Oh, let's see. Okay, Bruce is just responding to me now.
Yeah.
Let's see what he
Yeah,
says.
he just said 1 to 2 minutes.
Oh, good.
He said time to wrap up. There was a little message that popped up, I saw.
Oh, good. Did you see that? I didn't see it pop up. I must have been looking at my other chat with Bruce to say, "Bruce, what's going on?" Yeah, he was just checking with me to see if we're done. So we are done. So tell you what, any last questions for the last minute here? I'm going to hit the stop recording button, but we'll still hang out here. So, oh, he said, just leave the room. Okay. So thanks, guys. We'll see you on the other side.